sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Oh, sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Oh, sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
I will sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Come on. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praise and roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise.
Yeah. He is under something.
God is doing something right now. He is healing someone. He is saving something. God is doing something right now. He is moving mountains, making a way for something. He is doing something right now. He is moving mountains, making a way for someone. God is doing something right now. He is moving mountains, making a way for someone. God is doing something. All of my hope is in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough will come, come in the in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough will come, come in the name of Jesus. God, turn it around. Please, God, turn this around. God, turn this around. I can't live like this anymore. I need you to turn me around.
Thank you.
atmosphere. Breakthrough is happening right now. Look not to the right or to the left. Look to no man. Look to no woman, but look to me, says the Lord. For I am your God. I am the one who saves you. I am the one who will rescue you. I am the Almighty King. I am the first and I am the last. Do not depend on a man or on a woman. Depend on me, says the Lord. I will save you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I will lift up a standard and I will lift you up and I will set your feet on firm ground. We say hallelujah to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on and give God praise all over this place. Hallelujah. Let's sing it again. God, turn it around. Hallelujah. Situations upside down in this room this morning. God has done it. Believe it. Believe it. Hallelujah. Yes, give him a hand of praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are victorious in all things, that you turn it around, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. It is
It's such a joy to be in the house of the Lord. It is such a joy to be in His presence, the God who turns it around, the one who makes a way where there is no way. We're so glad to have you with us this morning. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. If this is your first time joining us, please visit us in the foyer after the service. We'd love to give you a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. If you're tuning in online, thank you for joining us. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. You can also do that on our website. If you're writing a check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're giving online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. I also want to remind you that we have baby bottles in the foyer. If you'd like to support the Family Resource Center of Ahoskie, if you'd like to support life, then pick up a baby bottle if you haven't done that. And we've also made that available to you on PushPay if you'd like to do that in that way. And at this time, we're going to welcome you to come forward and drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
You here? Come on, it ain't but 6 feet apart from you. Come on. Welcome online guests, online worshipers that are regular all the time. I appreciate you. Had some great interaction with people last week from other areas. And got a great report this week that the giving that you're doing is touching. I got 7 responses from the nation of India, Pakistan this week from the leader of that organization. We plan to have him here. His schedule is almost impossible. Pastor John Rachel ministered to thousands and thousands and thousands this past week. Had 142 salvations in Pakistan just this last week. 142,000 people came to Christ. A mass of people that just as they scanned it with a drone photography, there's just hardly, it's just a mass of people, like a sea of people. And Pastor Mike, you know what I'm talking about. You've been in services like that. But just doing it, God doing incredible things. Thank you for giving. Amen. There's $125. Some of you can take that on and say, hey, I'd like to do a week to put our broadcast on in the nation of India. 7th largest landmass in the world. And $125 mission offering takes care of it. It takes our service and changes it into the Hindi language, so it's understandable and evidently effective. Amen. So God is good. Isn't it amazing? You know, Beauty for Ashes out of COVID. That came out of COVID. Come on. Come on, man. I said that came out of COVID. And our online audience, I'm thankful for you. Thank you guys for tuning in. And see faces every week of people that are returning back to in-person worship. A lot of vaccinations taking place. That helps some people feel better about it. The numbers are diminishing a little bit. That helps others feel better about it. You find yourself in there somewhere. Amen. And we're just glad to see you. Praise the Lord. If you see a brand new face, make sure you go over and greet them. Amen. We're just glad you're here today. Worship team, thank you for leading us into the presence of God. You guys are just all that in a bag of Fritos. Come on. Amen. It's all that. You guys do a good job. Great job. School of Ministry classes this week. We had a great class yesterday here at the church. We have people preparing for ministry, and that's just an incredible thing. Also, today, somebody say today, is Single Parent Appreciation Day in the United States. Did you know that? If you are a single parent raising the kids by yourself, would you please stand right now? Come on, just stand up. I have a reason to have you standing, okay? Single parent and you're raising some children by yourself, all right? Now, there are those of you that are looking around. Make sure you look. Just remain standing for a moment. Those of you that are looking around, you say, wow, I had no idea she was a single parent mom. Listen, or single parent dad. Some guys are left, you know, with the wife's gone and she's not coming back and have to do it alone. So if you're raising children by yourself, I'm sure you could use some extra help. We have people who have cash in their pockets. Did you know that? Come on, y'all get quiet on me. I don't turn into a bunch of Presbyterians here all of a sudden. So what you can do is you can spot somebody that you see, and the Holy Spirit can take this announcement and say, you know what, you just ought to give them $50 or $100 or $20 or whatever the Holy Spirit says, and let me help them on their journey. Let me help them take care of that light bill. My light bill this month was $99. How about that? $99 at my house. Yeah, well insulated. Did a lot of spraying when the thing was built, and I haven't had a light bill over $100 in probably 9 or 10 months. But everybody's light bill is not $100. Some light bills are $300, $400. Some people know what those kinds of light bills are. And especially if you're single, somebody say single, you know what a little help means. Amen? So recognize one of these people after the service, walk up to them and say, congratulations, God is blessing you. Right now, right now. Come on. God's turning it around right now. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Amen. You can be seated. John and Larry Hull, stand with you. John and Larry Hull are guests at the Barnabas House last few days. They are from St. John's, Ohio, right near Botkins. They are actually guests of Pastor Mike and Bonnie. They are here to celebrate a grand occasion of Willie Pridgen getting married yesterday over in Murfreesboro, and they're staying at the finest accommodations any minister can find this side of heaven in the eastern part of North Carolina at the Barnabas House. God bless you guys. Welcome. Welcome. Well, praise the Lord. I feel good. Dun, dun, dun. Y'all feel good? Yeah. I feel good. Come on. There you go. Help me out, Pastor Joy. It's wonderful to be with you this morning, and I'm excited about what God's going to say. Somebody asked me in the hallway, hey, you got a word today? I said, I got a word today. Amen. I'm excited about what God is going to say to us today. It's going to be a challenging word for some of us because we are going to find ourselves with our hearts open because we're wounded. Somebody say wounded. There's some wounded people here. There's some wounded people online. There's some wounded people in the earth that are going to hear this today. And God is going to help you. Somebody say, help me, Lord. God's going to help you today. Amen. We are talking about roadblocks in our journey of overcoming opposition. Amen. Overcoming opposition on your journey. Deuteronomy is the verses that we've been sharing. And if you are a guest today, please go by the station in the foyer. We have a free gift for you. And we want to bless you with a free gift and get a little information from you. You know, nothing simple. Credit card information, background checks, all. I'm just kidding. Okay? I'm just kidding. We just want to know where you live and what brought you here. Amen. And we hope to see you again. Deuteronomy 7, the verses are 1 and 2. And it simply says this, when the Lord, we talked about this yesterday in the class, when the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, amen is his name, Y-H-W-H, the scribes put the vowels down there so we could understand what was going on. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess. Why can't we get this in our head that when God says something, he's already told them, it's a done deal. Come on. Amen. You are entering this to possess. Amen. I remember when Pastor Joy and I were praying about the Barnabas ministry. We simply were taking care of property beside us. How many of y'all have a neighbor? Amen. We had a neighbor. And his wife was in the bad stages of Alzheimer's, and he kind of just lost interest and lost control of the property, which is right beside me. And so just being a kind neighbor, we would take our lawnmower and weed eater, and we would go over after we cleaned our stuff up, we would go over and clean his stuff up. And one day in the heat of August, Pastor Joy brought me out a quart jar of lemonade. How many of y'all like to drink your beverages from a quart jar? Come on. She brought me a quart jar of lemonade, and this is what she said. She said, take a break. And she gave me the lemonade, and she said, you work so hard. Catch this now. You work so hard on this property. It's a shame it's not yours. And when she said that, trust me, the Holy Ghost jumped on her words. And I said, what did you say? She said, I said, you work so hard over here, it's a shame it's not your property. And faith, somebody say faith. Faith rose up in me, and I began to believe that I was standing on my own property. Not mine personally, but for the ministry's sake. And then two preachers came along and prophesied, man, that place next door is yours. God's going to give it to you. And he did. He did. Sometimes God just gives you things. Amen. Listen to what he says here. It's the land you are entering, come on, to possess, and drives out before you. In other words, he's going to get them out of there. He's going to drive out before them many nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and Jebusites. Here's a parenthetical statement. Seven nations larger and stronger than you. And this is the law of recurrence. We talked about it yesterday in the Bible class as well. When the Lord your God has, here we go again, delivered them to you, okay? God's not forgotten here. He's just reminding them. It's the law of recurrence in the Old Testament. He's going to bring it back to their remembrance again. He's delivered them over to you, and you have defeated them. Then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them. Show them no mercy. This series, we've been dealing with nations that the children of Israel had to encounter as they were on their journey to the promised land. Opposing spirits, if you will. Opposing spirits. You and I, on our journey to the promised land, amen, on our journey in life after God redeems us from our sin and has saved us and set us free and turned our life around, come on, then he always has some challenges for us. Because it's just, listen, serving God is just not a tiptoe through the tulips walk. It's just not. If they tell you that, one old-timer said this, the best thing can happen to you after you give your heart to Jesus is if you fall dead. Okay, because you go straight to heaven, okay, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But guess what? You didn't fall dead. You are alive, okay? And because you are alive, that's a tremendous indicator that God is not finished with you yet, okay? He has some things he wants to accomplish in you. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit today. He has some things he wants to accomplish in you and through you, okay? And so God is in the business of doing that. And sometimes he brings you to some places where he does, in fact, have to turn some things around in order for you to get on according to the journey that he has assigned to your hands. And so we talked about that spirit that they first encountered was the people called the Hittites. It's those people that their name literally means fear or terror. God would allow them to come up against a people that would infuse terror on their lives and in their spirit and try to get them to buckle under and just cash in on God's promises. And so, like it wasn't good enough, then he had them to encounter the Girgashites. They defeated the Hittites, and then he had to encounter the Girgashites. The Girgashite is a term that means a turning back or a backsliding. In other words, people would get one step into it and then over their head and realize, hey, I'm not going to make it here, so I guess I'll just go on back to Egypt. Come on. You know? That was their temptation. Giving up. That's right. And so what you have to do is for the next several weeks, because I'm not going to spoon feed you, okay? For the next several weeks, you've got some people left to deal with. You got some Amorites. I'll give you a little hint. Their name means confusion. You've got some Amorites, you've got some Canaanites, they stand for pride. Okay, it's right there on the notes. Take it down. Take a picture of it if you want to. It's pride for Canaanites. For Perizzites, it's double-mindedness, indecision. For Hivites, it's idolatry. Today, we're concluding this little series. I made it 3 messages. And I just chose one that I think is probably premier. It's the last one. It's dealing with a group of people we call the Jebusites. You say, well, you're not going to preach them all? Nope. You look them up. Amen. Amen. If you have a problem, text me, call me, FaceTime me, do something. But if you need some help, I'll help you. But you can take this and you can jump on your own journey and you can look at the characteristics of these Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, and Hivites. And you can allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you after you rightly divide the word of truth. Yesterday I shared in a class that I was teaching that I can go back in my mind and I can go back to the very first class I took trying to become a credentialed minister. And I took an Old Testament survey, and I can remember the very first time that I cracked the books open and started studying. I can remember things right off the top of my head that I wrote down that day, that I penned down that day, that I highlighted in the book that day. I can remember it. Why? Because I dug it out, okay? And when you draw out the truth, when you take an exegetical approach and you try to draw out the truth from Scripture, you will learn something, okay? How many of you have ever taught a class, a Sunday school class or something like that? How many of you would also say, I learned more when I taught than when I was a student? Come on. Because you have to study to show yourself approved unto God. You have to prepare yourself. And so you take the time and you deal with some of these other people. We're coming up on Easter and I'm not going to mess that up. And when I preach to you again, we'll be talking about a resurrected Jesus. Amen? So today we conclude this little 3-part series on the overcoming the opposition on the journey, the one we call roadblocks, and we deal with the Jebusites. The etymology of the word Jebusite means this: to emit a harsh sound. To emit a harsh sound. To trample down. Pastor Joy, you remember yesterday when we were in a meeting place and one of the guys who was just messing, he said, you know, I've been aggravating Linda all day. He said, I just go by her workstation. I say, Linda, just walking by. And he said, do this with me, y'all. Just play along. He said, let's all go up to the front. And when you walk by Linda's door, just go, Linda, like that. And she was so tired from standing on her feet and working all day. But we joined in with him and we spoke a harsh word, Linda, like that. That's a form of what we're talking about here. Hey, boy. When I was a kid, I had a bicycle, a Huffy. And I remember riding into town. I lived on the outskirts of Hertford. And I remember riding into town. And I lived only, 2 miles from the city limits. And so my mom and dad, you know, they would let me ride into town because that's where Mr. Hoffler's store was. And I thought you said you grew up around a country store your granddaddy had. I wanted somebody else's cookies besides his. Come on. I wanted to play with kids other than the ones that were right there in my neighborhood. So my dad would trust me to ride into town on the bicycle. Okay? And when I would get into the very city limits of Hertford, there'd be an old man sitting on the porch with a fly swatter and a rocking chair. Can you see him in your mind's eye? He sat there every day. Mr. Jake was his name. Hey, boy. Now, every time that I would get there, I thought, is there another way that I can get to town so I don't have to hear his Jebusite voice? Hey, boy. He called me one day. He said, hey, cabbage head. Cabbage head? What is this? Okay. So, I got sense enough to know my head's not small, okay? but he meant no good for me. Hey, cabbage head. You know, he was calling me names. Mr. Jake was his name. And he's calling me names as a kid, just poking fun. How many of you know that some people just like to mess with kids? Come on. And so that's what he was doing. He probably didn't mean anything, but he was terrorizing me, okay? He was trampling down my spirit. He was dealing with my self-image, because I stand in the mirror and say, do I see a cabbage here? I mean, is this a head or a cabbage or what, you know? And that's just the way it was. Listen, the Jebusite spirit is a spirit that is coarse. You know what I'm talking about? It's harsh. It can even be vulgar. Must have been present in the Grammys the other night. It defies the spirit of the hearer, the one who is spoken to, because it causes the mind to be defiled. How many of us this morning can relate to this? Somebody said something to you, some parent or something. Hey, boy, get up there, you lazy tail. You ain't never going to mount to nothing. That's the Jebusite. That's the Jebusite. Are you with me? There are verified facets to this Jebusite spirit. When you go to work and your coworker wants to defile your mind, see, it's all about the defiling of the mind, because a mind is a part of your soul. Your soul has components of personality, which are what? Mind, will, and emotions. Your mind, your will, and emotions. And so it doesn't surprise me that the enemy doesn't want to get into your mind and get into your emotions and reap havoc on you. So he does so in a Jebusite fashion. In other words, when you go to work and your coworker wants to defile your mind. How many of you have ever showed up to work and maybe it's Monday morning. You go to work and, hey guys, y'all have a good weekend, yada, yada, yada. And you go through the whole thing. And then someone says, hey, yeah, I heard a good one on the weekend. They start to tell a joke that's it's out there. And you're born again Christian, but you just, even though it's vulgar, you just kind of laugh. You say, man, where in the world did you hear that? And you walk away. But you laughed, okay? You know what happened? The Jebusite spoke into your life. The Jebusite spirit spoke into your life. You shouldn't laugh at it at all. You know what you should do? You should just walk away. And when you walk away, the Holy Spirit will take your walking away and hopefully do some work on that person. You know, you don't take a holier-than-thou attitude and try to make them feel bad. You simply walk away, allow the Holy Ghost to do his work. You are not to conform to this spirit. In fact, I will say this. If you listen, if you laugh, if you even snicker and say, Lord, have mercy, where'd you hear that? Then you're conforming to that spirit, because you affirmed it by laughing. And your mind is being polluted. Your mind is being trampled on. The Lord told the Jebusite, the Israelites, that they would be coming up on the Jebusites and they would be trampled upon by the harsh and polluted things that come out of their mouth. There's nothing more. And you look, I've noticed on television, listen, when you scan the channels, sometimes you stop on a comedy channel. How many of you have ever stopped on a channel and you just start to hear raunchy stuff? You know, people get paid big bucks to stand up and talk nasty. And then if you're sitting there and listening to it, you know what's happening? The Jebusites are just prophesying over your mind. Come on, guys, wake up and smell the coffee. The Jebusites are just prophesying over your mind, because your mind, listen, I know some of you are smart and you think you got control of this iPad and this computer, this PC, this Mac, whatever you got. But can I just tell you something? There's nothing, one of my college professors told me this years ago, there's nothing that will ever be put up against the human mind. It is man who's made computer. This human mind has a tremendous default system. When something is spoke to you, hey, cabbage head, you don't forget it. Did you ever get called a name? And to this day, that name bothers you. Come on, guys. Did you ever get told something by a parent And to this day, the thought of that still crosses your mind. Are you understanding what the Lord is saying here? Or it could be something that is spoken negatively over you. It matters what comes in your ears. It matters what you hear. What you hear that comes in your ears will end up in your head. It ends up in your head, a part of your soul. The mind, the will, and the emotions make up the soul. It's influence. That's why there's such power in music. Can I just tell you, some of you can't remember what you're supposed to do tomorrow. You'll look at your phone or your calendar and say, my wife and I do it every night. What you got going on tomorrow? I say, hold on a second, and I pull out my smartphone because it's smarter than I am. It knows what I have to do tomorrow because I put it in the calendar, thank the Lord. And so I'll check and you'll check because we don't know what we got to do tomorrow. But I know one thing. I'm 60 years old. I can sing songs today word by word by the Commodores, the Bee Gees, Peter Frampton, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Do you remember? Come on. 21st night of what month? September. I remember those things. Why? Because this mind is an amazing, amazing computer. And so it matters what enters into your mind. Amen? I can't remember what I'm supposed to do tomorrow, but I can sing Commodore songs. Lionel Richie. Oh, you once. Come on. Twice. Come on. Three times, a lady. And I love you. All I need is a band. Come on. See, you can remember those things, but you can't remember what you got to do this week. Paul said to the church at Philippi, chapter 4, verse 9, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, Pastor Joy's favorite verse, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Don't think about those things that the Jebusites imposed upon you. Think about these things, those things that are wholesome, noble, true, pure, lovely. Think about the things that are worth thinking about. Proverbs 23, verse 7 in the King James says this, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? My wife and I were walking the other day and she said, are you holding your tummy in? I said, what? She said, you need to hold your tummy in when you're walking and think about how, you know, this walk is helping us right now. And I thought, yeah, right. But you know what? It's so true. Okay? Come on, try it with me. I'm skinny. Come on. I'm skinny. Am I changing, y'all? God, turn it around. All of my hope is in eating right and exercising. That's where my hope is in. Okay? But listen, it's such a powerful, powerful thing. You got to have it right in your mind. And if you allow the Jebusites to put thoughts in your... Help me, folks. Come on. If you allow the Jebusites to speak in your mind, then those are the things you're going to pull up. Don't think about those things. Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's the Bible. Our lives are shaped by what we hear. Some of you are sitting here today and you've been trampled upon by that Jebusite spirit. It has shaped your thoughts about yourself. It has shaped your thoughts about your future. It has shaped your thoughts about your abilities, your self-esteem, and the list goes on and on. I will never forget years ago, right here in a Hosky in Food Lion, I was shopping for a few items and I saw an excited little child with her mom. And she was sitting in that spot in the basket and she had reached a place where her, you know, her arms are now able to reach out. And of course, sometimes her mom was getting too close to the edge of the curb here, and she was within reach of items. And so she would take an item that she wanted. And, you know, think about it. The marketers put all that stuff down there. You know, vinegar's on the bottom shelf, but cereal and all that stuff is Captain Crunch is right here at iView. And so she's reaching out, and she's grabbing, and her mom says, now stop that. Stop putting those things in the basket. And she takes the item and she retrieves it back and sets it on the shelf. And she goes on down. The child waited a little more and she waited a little more. And then she reaches out again and grabs something else. And she said, no, no. She said, stop putting those things in my basket. And I continued nosily. She got my attention. I continued nosily to watch as I made my way down the next aisle that I looked up at the top. I didn't even really need to go down the next aisle, but I kind of wanted to see what was going to happen with the kid. Okay? So the little child tried one more time. She reached out and she got another item and she held on to it like it was treasured. You know, I'm kind of, do I drop it, make any noise, or mama's just, you know, checking off the list and throwing things in the basket that she had prized. When all of a sudden the mother screamed, I said, no, you're about to drive me crazy. I wish you were dead. I witnessed that in the food line 1,000 yards away from this sanctuary. I'm glad I was on that aisle because I stopped what I was doing and I walked over and I made that my business. Hello? I got involved in it and I said, ma'am, I said, can I say something to you? And I went on to minister to her and I said, you need to really be careful. I said, I know it's frustrating, but I said, what you say to this little girl, and I just pulled her away from the basket because the girl's traumatized now. You know, she's crying, weeping. And I said, you really need to be careful what you say. Can you think about that for a minute? There's a child who's excited to be in the grocery store with mommy, only to hear mommy say, you're driving me crazy. I wish you were dead. Okay? Scroll the tape up several years later when I'm sitting in my office one day talking to a grown adult woman who is in tears. She's in tears. Now she's graduated from school. She's working a good job. She's bringing in finances. She's making her own way. She's getting ready, you know, to venture into something different. And she said, you know what, Pastor, I just need to tell you this. She said, I'm just struggling in a relationship with my mother. And I said, what do you mean? Tell me more. And she goes on to tell me a story. And she said, I'm struggling because my mom in contention, which we're in one right now, she said, my mom in contention sometimes have said to me, cursed was the day when you were born. I wish I had never had you. Now you think about that. Can you imagine that some of you may be sitting here, some of you may be watching online that have had those very statements made to you? Let me tell you, that is the epitome of a Jebusite. That is the epitome of a Jebusite who longs to bring destruction to you with the mouth. With the mouth. Some of y'all have come up in homes where you've been cussed at. Some of y'all have been backhanded. Some of y'all have been trampled upon in your spirit many times by an outraged parent. In both these cases, both the little girl and the only daughter who is a woman now with her own kids now grown was trampled upon by a Jebusite spirit, a polluted spirit that succeeded in defiling the mind of God's child. Listen to what the Spirit of God says. Listen to what the Creator says about you, Psalm 139. Verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This will go down as one of my classic favorite verses. I've quoted it so many times. It's ministered to me so many times. It just works in every environment. When people are trying to move forward on their journey. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born. Wow, wait a minute. Look at the knowledge level of God here. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I ordained some things in your life, he goes on to say. You're a prophet to the nations. And then Jeremiah 29:11, a verse that is probably one of the most quoted verses of the Old Testament. We don't stop to contextualize and try to figure out what was going on. That's the best thing you can do, a favor for yourself, to understand why am I yielding myself to this verse. People who quote this verse never think that this was the time of Babylonian captivity when the prophet Jeremiah speaks into the lives of God's people and says, I know you're here. You're carted off some 500 miles away from your homeland. Your men are emasculated. You're taken advantage of here. All your rights are being stripped. But I want to tell you something. I've got plans for you. Okay? I've got plans to prosper you, says the Lord, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I'm turning things around for you right now, the Lord says through Jeremiah's lips. God's word spoken, hear this. God's word spoken cancels the word of the Jebusites over our life. Some of you today are going to be infused with the power of the Spirit of God that's going to cancel the words the Jebusites have spoken over you. Paul said to the Ephesians in the New Living Translation, Ephesians 4:29. He said, don't use foul or abusive language. Some of y'all are saying, I wish my daddy had known that. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. This is the word of God, man. This is not just a good idea. This is God's command to the believers at Ephesus. He says, let everything you say be good. Let everything you say be helpful. And the reason why, comma, so that your words will be a what? An encouragement to those who hear them. Because the last time I understood life, it was a journey. And sometimes you move forward and there are some roadblocks. There are some rough places. There's some challenging terrain. And you need all the help. You need all the wind in your sail. You need all the skip in your step. You sure don't need those who love you the most tearing you down the worst. Don't use foul or abusive language. Mama, be careful. Daddy, be careful. Siblings, be careful one with another how you speak to your little brother or sister that's aggravating you. Be careful. Paul told the Colossian believers in Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. He told the Ephesians the same thing in chapter number 5. He said, listen, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speak to one another. Speak to one another. Godly things. That's why prophetic words spoken over us give us hope. They give us life. Proverbs 18:21 says this, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Prophetic words that tell us that a new season is coming and that a bad season has overtaken our minds give us courage to step forward, even though we see a big old tree across the path and we don't think we can get around it. We step forward with a new hope and a new season. God sends someone to tell you that you're the head and not the tail. God sends someone to tell you that you're above and you're not beneath. God knew that the Israelites would face a trampling spirit, that spirit of the Jebusites, that would try to distract and overtake them, robbing them of their victory in Canaan into the promised land. God knew that you would face the same spirit in your life. And he sets you up with people who can join with you, speak life over you. And he wants you to know today that he's well able to cancel every assignment that the enemy has placed upon your life through the negative words spoken over you, through the harsh things that were said to you that trample your spirit, that produce a roadblock that seems unpassable. Those polluted things that are in your mind. You know, I was a teenage boy, young teenage boy. You guys can come to the platform here and help me. We're going to close in a moment. I was a young boy. And there was a man that lived in our community that I went down with my brother to see his son. My brother and his son were in school together. They were the same age. And I was struggling, you know, in my physical being. I was at that age where, you know, I was consuming a lot of stuff I shouldn't have been consuming, and it was all going to fat, sorry. And I was bothered by that. I was. I was bothered by that as a kid. And I never will forget it. We walked into the house. We walked into the man's house, and the boy's father was there in the chair. And he said to my brother's name is David, he said, David, I see you bought your brother there. And then he proceeded to attack me about my physical makeup. A grown man. And here I am, a young teenage boy. I'm probably the age of Logan. He begins to attack me by using names. Now here's a grown man. He's in his late 60s. Sitting back in his easy chair watching TV. And a little kid in the neighborhood comes in the door. And he starts ascribing names to me. Joy can tell you, because I shared this with her over the years. She's my best friend. Some of the things that he said to me marked my mind for many years. Marked my mind for many years. Stayed right there. Jebusite. Wow. Marked me. And even going through adolescence and into adulthood, I carried those feelings with me. I don't today, but I carried them with me because they were meant to harm. I often wondered why that man did that. I often wondered why would he say that? And I realize that today I'm speaking to people, both in this room and in the larger room of those who are online, that you've been attacked by the Jebusites. You've been pierced with words that were defiling to your spirit. And honestly, some of you are still struggling with the rudiments of those attacks. This series is called What? Roadblocks. Overcoming opposition on your journey. Isaiah 54 verse 17 says, no weapon forged against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, says the Lord. The Lord says today that about your life, the Lord says, every tongue that rises up against you in some sort of judgment will be silenced and condemned. He'll vindicate you. He'll raise you up. If you've been trampled upon by that destructive spirit of the Jebusites at work in the life of someone who spoke negative things over you. Before I hit the target where we are today in this message, I want to simply ask you, are there folks here? Are there folks in this room today? You'd say, Pastor, one thing I need to get straight before we talk about anything else is I need the Lord. I just need the Lord. Every service we gather is an opportunity for people to come to connect with the Lord. Maybe you just wandered off the path of righteousness, or maybe you've never been saved before. Is that you? Just simply slip up your hand. Pastor, thank you, because I do need the Lord. Anyone? 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 Raise your hand. Just raise your hand quickly. Put it right back down. I do need the Lord. Blessings to you. Let me ask you this then, as our worship team begins to sing in just a moment as our prayer team comes and gathers here at the front. Are you struggling with some comment? Some imposition that's been just deposited on your life by someone who said something, someone who boldly trampled upon you? Are you struggling in that area? Are you needing someone just to agree with you today? Because I believe that the Holy Ghost is gonna just be the healer today for some people here. I believe that. Would you stand with me? Come on, prayer team, and just position yourself here. Ministers, if you would, come. Just come. And look, one by one, just step out. Listen, say, my pastor. My pastor, come on. Your pastor just stood in the pulpit and unzipped my life, okay? People say, Pastor, you're a good preacher. I love the way you should. You know what's been my success? Being honest. I got stripped, man, when that old man, I could call his name, but it wouldn't do no good. When he called me what he called me. Yeah, Mr. Matthews, when he said, hey, cabbage head. Yeah, that bothered me. That bothered me because I thought, you know, maybe I do have a big head. But when that man, as a young teenage boy, pierced my spirit with those words about my physical makeup, I carried that, John, for a long time. Standing in front of the mirror, and would it look better if I, yeah. You know the deal. Y'all do it too. Half of y'all do it. You're trying your best to make the best out of the situation. You're trying to work with humanity the best you can. And because somebody said something, it has caused you to forget that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. It's caused you to forget that he has plans to prosper and not to harm you. It's caused you to forget all those wonderful things that the Spirit of the Lord says about you. Before I formed you, I knew you. I ordained some stuff in your life. Forget all about that. Why? Because the Jebusites have come. So please, I shared and I told you the truth about what I experienced. Would you have the boldness to step out of your seat right now and let one of these leaders just agree with you and speak some powerful things over your life? Come on, just step out of your seat right where you are and just come. Come on. Just come and stand and let someone speak into your life today. He's a God that loves you. He has plans for you. Sing it, guys. There's healing here. There's healing here. If you just want to keep carrying it, go ahead. Just keep carrying. Okay, I'll just keep it. I'll just take what they said about me. I'll just keep it. Let him do it.
turn my life around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. I'm calling on the name.
Hallelujah, Lord.
It changes everything. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. All of my hope is in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough will come, come in the name of Jesus. All of my hope is in the name of Jesus.
Some of you need to move.
The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Breakthrough will come.
God, turn it around. God, turn it around. God, turn it around. Oh, please. God, turn this around. God, turn this around.
Hallelujah.
God, turn it around.
Think the Holy Spirit is done here. I just don't. I just don't think he's done here. If you read about some of those other groups, that many tactics are used, fear, pride, many things are used. The very last thing was the Jebusites. The enemy tried his best to just unravel all kinds of opposition and opposing spirits to the children of Israel, to trip them up. On the other side of that was a land flowing with milk and honey. I'll be honest with you. I have people during the week that send me private messages. Hey, man, I'm struggling, you know, with something. And then when you get a collective opportunity like this, just to say, you know what? Here, God's just read your mail. And then you stand there like a cow looking at a new gate, like wondering, what do I do here? I've given you invitation. I've given you the Word of God. Just put it right out there where it needs to be. So it's your choice. It's your choice. I'm not doing this for me. this is not for me. So I, well, we had 12 come to the altar today. I don't need any trophies like that. I'm doing this for you. I'm preaching this to you today, for you, for us all. I've come through my own battles. And I'm just telling you, if you'll just open the gate and say, okay, God, I'm just going to give this to you. It's bothered me long enough. It's bothered me long enough. Any testimony from someone who's already come to the altar? Jennifer, you got a testimony that might help somebody?
You won't get free fully unless you confess it out of your mouth to someone. It's not so much as someone to hear about your business, but getting it out, talking with somebody.
Amen. Abdul. Abdul's an elder in this church. He's one of the first ones there. He's up there getting prayer.
It's always good to go to the altar and get it right with the Father. He's always going to be there for you, no matter what your situation is. So if you have a problem, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. We're all here for the same reason. Please go to the front.
Amen. We're family, he said. We're family. Amen.
This was given to me before the pastor even began to preach. It says, come on unto me that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As the gentleman was sharing the word earlier, God put that in my spirit to give to you. And pastor said, it is not done here. Then the Lord says, asked, because I did not know how you did things. But the Lord says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. As pastor is right, the Lord, Holy Spirit is not done with you.
Thank you, Lord. So if you, if you can feel yourself dismissed and you're free to go. But if you need some time with the Holy Spirit, come on, this altar is open. Just come. You can leave. If you need to leave, that's fine. But if you need to come, just come. Let someone agree with you. Let's take this Jebusite spirit and cast it out. Amen? Cast it out. You know, I wish that I could be very descriptive, but it would be offensive if I was descriptive in what happened to me. It would just be offensive. John, same thing. If I could be descriptive, I wouldn't want that to be on a YouTube video. But as a young boy, the words that this man deposited over my life, I'm not comfortable saying, because I don't think it would bring honor to the Lord. But I carried that. I carried that for years. I carried it into my marriage. A feeling about myself. Can I just tell you something? God does not want you to walk around with those kinds of things in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. He doesn't. He has given you moments just like this to just unlock and give you the freedom that you need to feel that sense of self-worth and value that God intended for you. He wants your journey to be sweeter than this. Amen. So we're going to ask these guys just to hang here for a moment, and I'm going to pray a prayer, and we're going to dismiss. And if you need to come this way instead of that way, please come. Please come. Father, in Jesus' name, we just invite you, Lord, to just have your way in our lives. Give courage where courage is needed. Set free captives. Loose those who are bound. And God, we just thank you for it. Thank you for liberating me. Thank you for bringing me to a place of competence and confidence in my life. You loose the chains and the shackles of those things that were intended to hold me back. And I praise you for that in Jesus' strong name. Amen and amen. Come on, sing it, guys. Sing it one more time.
Jesus.